Okay. Recording's going. We better get going. So one thing that I find strange, and if I find it strange, then it must be. Does anybody here like to watch musicals? I know Rachel does. I think a lot of people, Tom will admit to it, okay. A lot of people, especially women it seems, really enjoy musicals. I know I had to watch a ton of them growing up, and my mom and sisters liked watching. I think they're weird. And now I will sing a song to explain why I think they're weird. No, that's what they say something, and then they got to sing about what they just said, and then recap it, and it just goes around and around. It's just strange. And have you ever thought about what it would be like to live in the world of a musical? It'd be weird, right? Never knowing when somebody's about to break into song. Maybe just to repeat the thing they already told you. Worrying that when you walk down the street, that you never know if you have to know all the dance steps to what's about to break out because somebody else had a song and you walked on it, so you have to dance along with it. But it'd be okay because somehow everybody always knows all the dance steps and knows the chorus. It would be weird to live in a musical. It's just the way of things that just doesn't happen. And yet, the chapters from Psalms that we read this week in the reading plan might be the closest thing in the Bible to what a musical is. We didn't read in the Psalms the last 2 weeks, and you're probably glad. We didn't talk about from here. I didn't talk about from here what we read in the Psalms the last 2 weeks. You're probably glad about that. I mentioned it was Psalm 119 that we took 2 weeks to read because it's 176 verses that pretty much every one of them say the same thing. Somebody wrote this poem of they took each letter of the Hebrew alphabet and each and wrote 8 lines that start with that letter, and every verse you flip over to sometime Psalm 119. Every verse has some synonym for law in it. Your word, or your promises, or your commands, or statutes. Every verse 176 times. We didn't do that, but after that, after you come out of the long journey across Psalm 119. You get to a collection of psalms that have, they each have the same superscript. Now, we talked about superscripts before, right? Okay. The little writing below the psalm number, but before verse 1. They all say, songs of ascents. And what we generally agree that this means is these are a collection of songs that would be sung at various points along the way as you are traveling to the temple at Jerusalem. Right? So if somebody's coming in, if people are coming in for, say, the Passover or Pentecost or one of these holidays where people had the pilgrimages to Jerusalem. What we think is these songs of ascents are songs that get sung along the way as you are moving toward Jerusalem, which is on the hill, generously called Mountain of Zion. And so as you are ascending up to Jerusalem, you are singing these songs. So try to picture. Remember, we're talking about musicals. If you have all of these people going the same direction, singing the same songs, as they're maybe crossing the same landmarks, it might look like one of those Broadway musicals, maybe fewer dance steps, but it might be one of those few situations where that sort of behavior might happen. So it might be kind of a silly way of thinking of it, but it does get in that idea of what these people were doing. They're on their way to worship. They're on their way to celebrate. Like going up to the temple, especially for the holidays, wasn't just about going up to worship, but it was about celebrating something about their identity, about God's identity. And they are sharing these songs, and everybody knows the words, right? And everybody's doing it at the same time. This morning we're going to look at the beginning of the songs of ascents. The first four. We're mostly going to focus on two of them. We'll bring in a little bit from the other two. But we're going to look at the very beginning of the songs of ascents. So this is when, we assume, you are further away from Jerusalem. When you get toward the end of these, which they end at 134, so it's 120 through 134, you get a lot of language about being together at the temple. You get a familiar verse of how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity, talking about things that the priests are doing, and you get that sense of we are here, everyone is together, and you get a lot of temple imagery. We don't have that at the beginning. We're still far from the city. It's still off in the distance. And perhaps in these first psalms, we get a little bit of an idea of the frame of mind that people might be in at the beginning of one of these journeys. So we jump in at Psalm 120. And this is not how good and pleasant it is, like we get to in 133. The songs of ascents start off with, I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Sounds a little bit like we're studying in Jude, doesn't it? You get away from these people and all the things they're saying. What will he do to you? What more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long I have lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So the beginning of the songs of ascents, the beginning of this journey up to the temple, begins in a pretty dark place. It begins in I am surrounded by people that I wish I could get away from. And maybe as acknowledging that, and that's what I'm doing. I am for peace. And so I am traveling to Jerusalem. That part of Jerusalem is actually the word for peace. I am trying to seek God's peace, God's city. But overall, this psalm is pretty dark. We've talked about laments some. We looked at the Book of Lamentations. So we should know here that lament is not a bad thing, right? When we see somebody saying these dark things about everything bad going on around me, and I cry out to the Lord in my distress, our first instinct is, well, this is maybe somebody with not a lot of faith, or this is somebody that is defined by their struggle. But we know to look closer. Right? We know that when we see somebody praying a lament, that we see somebody who is actually doing an act of trust, right? You don't lament unless the person you're lamenting to can help. So we talked about that. We don't have to do more lament stuff. That's not what we're doing today. Don't worry. But we do start off with lament. Psalm 121, perhaps, as you get a little ways down the road, has a different tone. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. This one sounds like somebody in a much better place, doesn't it? This doesn't sound like somebody coming out of darkness. This sounds like somebody who fully is trusting. In fact, I've mentioned that I have this is my graduation Bible, and I've got all kinds of notes written in there. And some people didn't just sign the cover. They opened it up and wrote down here and said, you know, don't miss this. And Psalm 121, an old family friend, circled it, wrote a note that God's constant presence. She said, don't forget this. And we do see that. We see in Psalm 121 somebody that seems very secure, seems very much not afraid, says God is in control. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And yet, just like with the lament, look a little closer, and you might see an undertone of feeling in here. And if I'm reading into this too much, tell me. I can take it. I've been wrong before. Right? Yeah, Rachel backs me up on that. I see in here someone who trusts in God. But I also see somebody who feels threatened in a lot of different ways. I don't know, to me, as I'm looking at this, as he's saying the things that he doesn't have to worry about because God is there, I'm looking at it and saying, I never would have thought to worry about that. Is it weird that you're worrying about the sun will not harm you and the moon will not harm you? Like, I never even would have thought about being under threat by the sun and the moon. It says, when I'm coming and going, God protecting me from harm. On one hand, that is saying I don't have anything to fear. On the other hand, it's saying if God wasn't there, I'd be afraid of everything. Perhaps. These psalms, and there are others like it, I think they are comforting. I think there is this idea of God's constant presence, but I think they also acknowledge very often this undertone of, and if God weren't there, there'd be a lot of trouble. I think it acknowledges that while God is in control, there are threats, it seems, around every corner. And I look at the first lines here. I lift up my eyes to the mountains, or some translations say the hills. Because like I said, Zion and others around there, they're generously called mountains. You see in the terrain there. And I suspect these are talking about, when it's talking about lifting up your eyes to the hills, this isn't like a Sound of Music sort of thing, Hills Are Alive. There we go, musicals again. I don't think this is just looking at God's creation around, but I think that there are really questions to be seen when you lift up your eyes, if we're looking through the vantage point of somebody traveling to Jerusalem. Now, I know how much the Wednesday class has been enjoying our trip through Kings and Chronicles, which I think is true to an extent, but some of it has been repetitive. One thing that we keep coming across and became very relevant in this past week's reading was the high places. Do you remember coming across these things, the high places? It said early on, Jeroboam and Rehoboam set up places of worship on the high places. Actually, some of these came in during the time of Solomon as well. These were places of worship to other gods. And even when we saw good kings throughout Kings and Chronicles, they very often would say, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but he did not take away the high places. Until this week when we were looking at Hezekiah, when it made a big deal about Hezekiah came in and he destroyed the high places. Well, let's talk about these a little bit. I don't know how well this comes through. That's not showing what mine shows. Wonderful. Must be a big file or something. So this is a view of a high place. This is a high place at Gibeon. And this is what it looks like today. You can see some of the ruins. I don't know how well the words come across here. We're still playing with... it comes across really well. You can see Jerusalem off in the distance there. And you can see some other peaks that are around there. It's very likely that a lot of these hills slash mountains were utilized for these places of worship. Many religions have mountains as their places of worship because the thought is they are nearer to the heavens. You know, you get closer to your God. And this picture that I assume will come up eventually is another photo of a reconstructed high place. Well, this is disappointing. Here, I have pictures, and we don't have pictures. That's sad. All right. Well, maybe it'll come up, and maybe it won't. We got a picture of a recreation and a picture of an altar that still exists at one of these places. These a horned altar. See, last time I did that, it did something. Oh, well, if you're really interested, I can show you later. So I shouldn't hold up much hope for the other pictures that I have here. I don't know. So you can imagine. If you are one of these people making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Again, if you're interested in the pictures, I can show you later. But the one that I would like to be showing here is actually a view from the Mount of Olives that shows kind of the panorama of Jerusalem and Gibeon and Nob and various peaks, these summits that have these places of worship on them. Wonderful. One of these days we'll get this figured out, right? Technology making our lives easier. And you can imagine being in the place of one of these people traveling to Jerusalem. And off in the distance you have God's hill, mountain, the temple. And then you have another God's hill, and one of another God. And you're walking past, and as you're headed to Jerusalem, someone else is coming from another direction to climb up a mountain that you're going past. And this idea, especially if you had come out of the mindset of Psalm 120, which of course not everybody would, but if you're going toward the temple and you're sorting out all of the things that is back at home, and all the things that you know are going to be there when you return, and all the stuff that maybe you're hoping you just get a break from, and all of the encouragement that you're hoping to get from being at the temple, and all these things going through your head, and you see all these places of worship. The statement of, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I wonder if on this path, that does become a question. Which one of these do I trust? And then the immediate response is, my help comes from the Lord. But you have to wonder, at this point in the journey, when you're not there yet, there's a long way to go, and all you're seeing is all these different high places. If you start to question, and if you start to be reminded of all that other stuff out there, all those other ideas, where even if you say, I am headed toward that one, I am headed toward the temple, and I'm not even going to worry about those, but you know the things that are being said. And you know the problems that have been caused for God's people by these various high places. Solomon was worshiping on one of those. Kings who were supposed to be taking care of God's people were building these. God's people headed to the wrong peaks. You start to get that feeling of God's constant presence, but also the presence of so many other things. Psalm 123, I'm guessing this will come out faster. Yeah, that'll get rid of the picture, no problem. Psalm 123 has some of these similar ideas. It maybe takes the tone of 121 and 120 together. It says, I lift up my eyes to you. To you who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Same idea, lift up my eyes. My help comes from the Lord. And yet this one goes on to say, have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. And maybe this is some of those ideas of all of the things in 121 that is talking about God protecting and keeping away. Maybe this one goes on to acknowledge them a little bit. We feel it all around. We see it. We see all that influence. We see all of the things that want to pull at us, all the things that want to make us veer to one way or another. And I think there's some wisdom to be found in these psalms. I think in seeing that that a lament is not a lack of faith, it's an acknowledgement of it in the dark times, and that a psalm of praise, a confession of God's presence, is not denying that there are any problems around. We get kind of this whole picture of what it looks like to be God's people in good times and in bad, that that maybe some of the mess that comes in. And in looking at this beginning of the Psalms of Ascents, there were two statements that came into my head that I felt maybe were consistent with the tone of these psalms and felt relevant for maybe somebody on a journey of faith, relevant to admit. And the first is, sometimes God's people need to say, I am overwhelmed and feel lost, but that does not mean I don't trust in God. And the flip side of that is, God is always with me, but that does not mean that my life is not a mess. Whether we are in those dark times where we say we just need to get out, but I know God is there, or if we are in those times where things are going well and we recognize God is with me, but we say, but if he wasn't, if we say that even though we know everything is trying to come in from all sides, we know God is there. I think we find ourselves on both sides of these statements. In fact, while this is from next week's reading, the next Psalm, 124, starts with, if the Lord had not been on our side. Which is a celebration that God was on our side, God is on our side, but if God weren't. It's very easy to feel overwhelmed when up with all the things pressing around us. I was going to do a song here, but I think we'll skip past that. But this is a song that comes from Psalm 121, and the second verse is from Psalm 91. But this is, I thought the two verses kind of express the two sides of those things. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. Trouble all around, but my help comes from the Lord. In the bad times when I know God's going to bring me out, or in the good times where I know where I could have been. And so, I don't know if it did come up. Wonderful. And so just like the Israelites that we imagine as we read through the Psalms of Ascents, just like, we poke fun at this being like a musical as they're singing these same songs moving forward. Just like those people, they're moving toward God. They're moving toward some sort of presence of God. They're moving toward some sort of unity found in being together. Whether we are in that dark place and saying, I know God is there, or if we are in a good place and saying it's only because of God, we move toward God together. And on our journey, there are many high places and hills along the way. Many other things grabbing at our attention. Many other things offering meaning. Many of them trying to present themselves as the answers to what we need. Climb up to me, they call. I'll make you feel better. The answer's here. But they're lies. True peace is only found on one. Our journey may not be toward Jerusalem, but we do seek God's city. We do seek the peace of the Lord. And it's a long journey. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And it's a song that we sing together. It's a journey we take together. And someday we're going to see it together. So we may not have gone through all of the songs of ascents, but I recommend you do. In the next couple of weeks we'll have that in our reading. Maybe because you like musicals. Maybe because you love the fellowship of God's people. You can see it then. You can feel it today. If there's anything you need today, we're together. Right? We are together on the journey. If you need prayers, if you need support, if you need to respond and accept Jesus in baptism, what a better thing. You know, what a better time. If there's anything you need, please let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing.